universe is everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Zoe Avery.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is going to be about energy, and I think this is probably part five.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, and that's energy wherever, it's just energy. And if you'd like to join us with a question, the number is toll free. It is, in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, we welcome you too. It's not toll-free, though, but it will only be a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, perhaps book an Akashic reading, please go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. When I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show, and I won't know about anything else that happens at the time that I have my out-of-body experience because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. And like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work and what we do, and I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It should only take a few seconds, really, before Gregory is here. And Sylvie will be looking after you and the whole situation, really, because that's what she does. Have a great show anyway. Goodbye.
Thanks, Mick. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago and has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. And the information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to say that we are actually in the Portland area, and you can come and see us at Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces tomorrow night, the 30th, Friday night, the 30th of November. And we will be talking to you about the art of protection. So that's energy coming from people from the physical earth plane that you meet in your everyday lives, and also psychic protection as well, that is actually very real, that protects you from any unwanted forces from the ether world. Anyway, like I say, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend.
Thank you. So here we are then, part five on energy. And what gems have you got for us today that you're going to talk about?
Yes, gems. There's a thing.
Well, that's another thing.
It is another thing. And the situation then, my dear friend, is that we need to talk about how human beings react to to certain elementals of the physical world. After all, what is it that you actually find so appealing about a certain gemstone? Mm-hmm. Is it that they have some sacred inner properties? Or, more importantly, is this something of a tool which is used to help the spirit world actually come and, in a sense, bring unity to the spirit and the physical form by actually showing that there are energies in existence within and without the physical state which amplify certain conditions of the physical state and also perhaps correct certain situations in a very subtle way.
Oh, hello, caller.
Hello there, how are you? So,
hi, hello, Brian.
Hello, friend. Hello. With love and light, friend.
The love and light to you, dear friend. I had a question for you, Gregory.
Yes?
Well, first, I just want to say to you and Sylvie, I've heard you guys on another radio show talking about the Galactic Wars.
Yes.
And that's fascinating. And I just want to say thank you for bringing that through.
Oh, my dear friend, you are most welcome, my dear friend.
And I've also heard that you were putting together a show, you and Sylvie, about the Urantia book.
I understand, yes, that that is a situation. I do not know quite how far that has got. I understand that there are many beings in our side of life who are bringing forward material for that piece of work. It's something that is ongoing at this present time, that we are gathering material about that specific identity, about that particular communication and the way in which it was brought about and delivered, and also to do with the things that were actually created and said about it.
Yes, well, I wanted to say thank you for beginning or starting to put things together to be able to talk about this.
Well, if you've got any questions that you want me to put to Gregory in those programs, do email them to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely, Sophie. Yes.
My question to you today is about energy.
Yes.
And I was wanting, from our side of life, on a human form, what would be easier to perform for a individual, a human, to do? I was going to list three things, and if you could tell me which one would be the easiest and which one would be the hardest to perform. The first one, for a human, teleportation. The second, levitation. And the third, invisibility.
Invisibility, did you say, or indivisibility?
Invisibility.
Oh, very well, yes. Well, teleportation, that is something, of course, which is subjective to the individual. It may well be that you feel that you have been teleported somewhere. So are you talking about teleportation as a physical being, or are you talking about teleportation which actually involves the higher consciousness and perhaps journeying with the spirit?
That's a good point. Probably physical teleportation of the physical body.
Yes. Well, this, of course, is something which is actually extremely difficult to practice and
okay.
to bring about in physical form, quite simply because of the situation that is involved within it. I understand that there have been many such advancements in science, and yet none yet have been able to actually pinpoint the possibility of teleportation and still arranging and keeping the cell structure of a given form in a particular place. Or in a particular arrangement. So, for example, animals have been teleported and have come back as a rather glorious mess of,
yeah.
of mangled flesh and that kind of thing. Because quite simply, it's very difficult to actually maintain the cell structure in its original alignment.
Through breath work and meditation, is it possible, or is this just something that's really extremely difficult? Because our focus is not that great yet.
Well, yes, it's really to do with that, my dear friend. But I also have to say, friend, it's actually to do with the mechanic as well. Now, let me first of all cite, my dear friend, that we have on occasion been able to transport certain artifacts, solid artifacts, usually manufactured items or something like that, or maybe even perhaps brought through a feather or some other such object which has already been discarded by physical life. So, my dear friend, it is then that we actually take a great, it takes a great deal of energy to be able to take some manufactured object from one part of your planet and spirit it away, as it were, and then produce it for someone else in perhaps their living room or something like that. We've even done manufactured toys, small toys at times, and quite simply, friend, because it's such a rigid object and does not comprise of cells which are, how should we say, which are perhaps fluid in their makeup, not forgetting that most animals are 90, so many percent of water. And so that's what I'm saying, really. Fluid cells are much more difficult to keep in one place. However, so it appears to be then that manufactured items are more easily able to actually transport, and that is a form of teleportation, although I have to say that what actually happens is that we in the spirit world bring about a certain specific mechanic which enables the object to be dematerialized, that is, that we alter its, not its DNA structure, but we alter its vibration. And by altering its vibration, we are then managing to disengage it, if you will, and use the particles of energy that come about from doing that, and then they are much more malleable in the spirit world because they're just particles of energy. Then we're able to move them through different dimensions to the place in which that we want them to reappear. Now, it may seem rather difficult. Oh, well, why would you want to move them to different dimensions? Quite simply because, the answer is, quite simply because dimensions tend to fold. And what we are able to do by using different dimensional gateways rather than just bringing them through the ether world, it means to say that we're able to, shall we say, we take an object from one country in Europe, or perhaps a bird which is sitting on a rock in somewhere in the, I don't know, the Bering Sea or something like that, and we actually take that object and perhaps move it thousands of miles in Earth physical time, but we actually use the folded gateways of interdimensional state in order to bring about this very real appearance, and it takes only seconds to do that.
Can a human being on this side of life create a portal to walk through, or is that something only spirit can perform?
No, it's something that only spirit really does perform, although I have to say that there have been situations when human beings have been involved in this kind of thing, really to do with their, usually it is to do with the energy of love that will create this. I would not say that this is always a permanent gateway, as it were, but it's usually just really to do with the construction of the gateway because of the love that exists between the group, and that then is something which enables the spirit world to create the gateway in the first place. If I may then get back to the next point about teleportation, I'm so glad you brought this up, friend, and we'll get on to the other subjects in a moment, that we have actually at times experimented with different situations within our own group, and we have in fact teleported our dear friend's horse at one point.
Oh, wow.
And we actually chose the moment really to show the expression of complete love that exists from the spirit world, from our own particular group, as these two good people are the actual physical voice of the group, if you will. And we decided that we needed to bring them a gift. And what happened, I understand, you would like to...
Well, Mick and I walked into the field and saw the horse, our horse, stood there eating, and then we
just a few yards away.
Yes, only a few yards away, and then we shut the gate, had a little bit of a problem with the gate, turned around, and he was gone.
Oh, wow.
And the field was something like 3 or 4 acres in size, and he was sort of to the right in the middle of the field, and then we had to go and look for him, and he was behind a forested area over to the left, over a stream, the corner, in the opposite end of the field. And he wasn't eating anymore. He was just standing there wondering what had happened.
Did the horse realize what happened, Gregory? It was just a split second that didn't realize.
No, my dear friend, it was just a split second that it took, and he wasn't even out of breath. He was just standing there, I understand, completely bemused, where has my grass gone, because he wasn't actually even standing on grass then. He had been eating a good patch of grass previously, and we actually put him on mud. And so he was actually trying to find the grass that he had been eating. So he was rather mystified by the whole situation. But that actually, friend, is the only time that we've actually really managed to achieve this in a large scale.
Yeah.
Now, in coming back to this teleportation situation, there have been times during physical mediumship seances when we have been able to teleport, or rather move and transfer the whole physical state, cell structure and everything, of the medium from one room into another room.
A shifting of dimension.
Hmm. Yes, and but this is something which is possible, as I say, with that same ultimate loving energy which can exist from physical beings to the spirit world.
Is it the circuitry of the heart, the love? It's just some vibration. So the vibration, the frequency of love is so high that
yes.
It just... I see.
Yes.
Getting to that state, yes.
Yes, absolutely so. The point is, my friend, that the vibration of love can easily be completely beyond that of physical state. That's what you have to realize. And this, of course, is something which comes up when you are in a very close state with someone from your soul group. And this is the kind of love that then can be generated within that relationship. And this is why it is that you must have harmony above everything else. You must have harmony when you are sitting for spirit, when you are sitting for your revelatory experiences as a physical being and as a spirit being, having a physical existence. The point being that you as... are trying to raise your vibration. In order to do that, you have to be absolute in your respect for spirit. And that is something else as well that some people do not aspire to do. They don't actually realize that in order to create the perfect bond with the spirit world and with the loving vibration which is created there, which can help to bring about such things as materialization and such and such. Materialization or physical mediumship, incidentally, isn't about you kinetically connecting with a pencil and rolling it across a table or something
right.
like that. It's actually to do with real physical objects, which then can become either dematerialized or objects which become materialized from the spirit world. That, in a sense, is a form of teleportation, although I have to say it's actually about using and employing other forms of senses.
Hmm.
So that was the teleportation?
Yes, quite so.
Levitation was the next one?
Yes, very well. Levitation, now, I understand, my dear friend, that there are many experiments that human beings can do with levitation themselves.
Is that the same breath work as meditating and breathing, certain breath cycles or certain the way you breathe to raise the vibration to lift the body off the ground?
Not especially, my dear friend. Levitation in the main happens by the spirit world and by your connection with them. So it is not something which, and I know that there are certain groups of religious peoples, very religious peoples, who
yes.
practice the art of levitation, and this is to do with their raising of their vibration of love, and that they find that they are, I believe that this group of people, they actually sit cross-legged upon a floor, and then they're raising their vibration of love through meditation, and that what happens is that they begin to move across the floor, not
wow.
that they necessarily will it themselves, but they are just in a state of auric fusion, if you like, with their own physical state and their spirit. And what can then happen is, in fact, you can have someone who actually, just sitting cross-legged on the floor, can actually then rise up and move perhaps 10 or 20 feet in front of them, and they actually don't actually touch a surface at all.
So when you're in that state, is this just through a prayer, or is this just strong concentration on the human side?
It is really to do with your
will,
your complete at-oneness state with your spirit, in a sense. And not just that, but to do with the actual practice of what you are willing to create. I'm not saying that this means that it's a mind transitional state. I'm not saying that the mind then manipulates you to a certain, to such an extent that you can then levitate. I'm saying that this is really to do with your interaction as a physical being with the spirit world. And what then can happen is that your increased love and vibration raises you, actually physically.
That's amazing. And then the last one, invisibility.
Can I just say on that, though? Aren't there,
yes.
Are there people that can levitate, like that do these street tricks and things like that?
Oh, yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand that is true, too.
David Blaine, one?
Yes, quite so.
He does it, doesn't he? He actually does it.
Yes. It's not a trick.
Yeah.
Quite so.
You've heard of him, have you, Brian?
A little bit, yes.
Mm. Yes, and I understand, in fact, that he, as well, you see, he doesn't actually understand that magic is not necessarily something to do with the sleight of hand.
No.
It can also be to do with the connection, a far more spiritual connection.
Well, he wouldn't have got on the TV and, you know, the TV programs and all of the things that he does if he was to call it spirit influence or anything like
no,
that.
No, quite so.
So, yes, call
no,
it magic.
So.
Yes.
Absolutely. And actually what he practices is something called humanistic magic, which is actually, so then he is actually using the arts, the sacred arts, not of magic, but of a form of interdimensional communication, I suppose. But actually what he's doing is using his the certain gifts that he has to do with communication, as he does communicate, in fact, well with the spirit world.
Gregory, do I have those gifts within me?
Well, my dear friend, it is possible that people can have, and I'm not saying that you don't.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, my dear friends, that what all of this is about is actually in a case of constant and very good communication that you have with the spirit world. And that really is, in a sense, all that you need to maintain. If you do that, then the spirit world will, it's not necessarily going to be as being a specific gift that you have. It's to do with your whole progression in life and how you are able to join with spirit so that they can manifest something that's different.
I see. And the last one was invisibility.
Yes. Well, I understand, my dear friend, that many people can practice forms of invisibility. Not that it's actually that this comes about actually figuratively, physically, for a human being, but that it may well be that you can be invisible to certain people.
Because of the vibration.
Yes, quite so. And what you can actually do as a being is using your mind and your intention, you can make yourself invisible to someone else, perhaps because you fear them, perhaps it is because you actually don't want their contact, and that you can actually be yourself to actually block their awareness of you.
So it seems like this one's a lot easier to perform and do than the other two.
Yes, absolutely so.
Because
I've noticed... This is something, my friend, that you can actually practice. I understand, though, that there aren't that many people whom you know that don't want to talk to you or that you don't want to talk to them. So this may be a little bit difficult,
my friend. That's true.
But also, as well, I have to say that it's really, though, something which just becomes a part of your presence of being and the way that you are able to organize your harmony so that you can protect yourself at certain stages. And it's about this projection that you have of protection. And that's the point, really, that we're coming to here. So that you can actually protect yourself from someone, for example, that you see across the street and you really don't want them to see you. Well, don't try and hide, because that'll just draw your attention.
Their
attention to you. But what you really need to do is just to think yourself into a different state of you being this organism that cannot be seen. And I'm not saying that you have to shut your eyes and squint and think that I'm not visible.
But it is a weird concept,
like that. Oh, yes, absolutely, quite so. I do understand.
And presumably this is how Bigfoot does this.
Yes, that's true. Sasquatch do it all the time. That's why people can't catch one, quite simply, because they're very adept at it.
Yes, that is amazing. Well, thank you so much, Gregory. That really puts an enlightenment on me on how things are.
It seems like all of these things would are sort of compatible to each other in your sitting in development anyway, and whatever happens, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. The point is, friend, is not to put limitations upon your development or the spirit world or your connection with it. You just have to understand that they will bring to you whatever it is they can and are able to, given your present vibration. And the more that you bring about a greater vibration and an understanding of love and how precious it is, not to be held and controlled by you, but to be given by others, this then will be something which it will just transcend your physical state gradually.
Well, that's beautiful, Gregory. And thank you, Sylvie.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank
you guys. Have a lovely
Brian.
Day.
Thank you.
God bless,
God bless you, dear friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to say thank you very much for that call. And if you've got another question, anybody, we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222. Okay, that's wonderful. So everybody's going to be practicing hiding from the traffic warden now.
Yes,
how do you make your car invisible?
We didn't have those in our day, friend. We didn't even have horse wardens either.
Horse wardens. That's funny. Yes, I mean, but it does. It makes you it boggles the mind in how you could use it. Would it be the case that you is that something that is something that would have to be done through a loving vibration? I mean, obviously, if you were a criminal or something, could they do it?
But which one are you talking about?
Invisible. Become invisible.
Oh, I understand. No. Well, negativity generally means that you actually are drawing attention to yourself. And that generally tends to be the way of it.
Sure. Hello, caller.
Yes. Hi, this is Susan. I have a question related to invisibility.
Hello.
Hello,
Hi,
friend.
How's it doing?
Hello.
Hi. I was wondering if there's somebody on the outside, maybe in the spirit world or something, or somebody outside in the physical world even, that could produce an effect of invisibility, because once me and somebody were supposed to meet each other and we got there at the same time at the same place, within the same span of time, and we didn't meet each other, and then afterwards something extraordinary happened to me that increased my faith, so I was wondering if and we just couldn't figure out how we didn't connect with each other because we were right there at the same time. Is it possible that anybody could outside of us could have made us invisible to each other? that possible?
It's a very interesting point, my dear friend, and it may well have been. I cannot be that specific about the situation that happened to you, but that it may well have been, looking at it subjectively, that the vibration of one of you, even though you were both there at the same time and you were actually present but yet could not see one another, it actually belies to the point that there must have been some actual focus of control going on, which was outside of yourselves.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
Yes, quite so. And so it means to say then that there must have been a specific reason why the spirit world wanted to actually, or why those who were bringing about this wanted to bring this to your attention, because clearly they also knew that you were actually going to communicate about it afterwards. So I would suggest to you, friend, that this was in a sense a gift. It was to show you.
It was. That's the way I experienced it. As soon as I found out, it became very evident to me that that's what had happened.
Yes.
I just didn't know whether it was possible.
Oh, yes. Well, my dear friend, anything is possible. And so that is my point, really, friend, that it was obviously a gifted experience for you both to actually have of yourselves, and that it was, in fact, something as brought as evidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sue.
You're welcome.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Sue. God
Bye.
Bless. Thank you.
God bless.
It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And if anybody else has got any stories like this, then do get in touch. Like I say, in the US, it's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-815-9756.
And they're free.
And they're free. They're toll-free. And we're here for you. Yeah, that's amazing. It's so interesting. You know, the experiences people have, and, you know, the thing is, who do you turn to ask?
Well, exactly.
Ask about
why
it?
Does this happen? Why? Yes,
yes.
Exactly so. Well, the point is that what you have to understand is that for some people, as human physical beings, perhaps they really need absolute identity of proof. And, however, the spirit world very often works in a sense, in a kind of roundabout way, but in such a way as to prove it absolutely impeccably.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for example, if you have lost a child to the spirit world, perhaps, and that child suddenly materializes one morning,
mm-hmm.
and that you, it's just, however, a very short visit, but perhaps they just wave at you and say hi or something, and then the next time, so you turn away and then you look back and they've gone. And that is very often a situation, a sequence, which is, of course, upon the most intensive loving vibration that can ever happen, really, between, shall we say, mother or father and daughter or son.
Mm.
And these interrelationships are really built because of the love vibration which had existed, and really, the evidence means to say that this isn't really to do with, because one is perhaps in the past, has already passed to the spirit world, this isn't in the same bracket of illumination as we have just talked about to do with invisibility. This is actually to do with the reciprocal way in which the spirit world very often comes to the aid of people who are perhaps bereft in some way, or who are just searching and really want real evidence. I understand there are some people on your physical planet who, despite whatever evidence they would be given, that they would just deny it as being evidence.
Mm. And in some cases, I would think, like you say, most things, wonderful things, experiences like that can happen when you're least expecting it, because
yes.
you're not trying for it to happen. So presumably, in trying to practice, you know, say teleportation, levitation, or whatever,
yes.
I would think that that would be more difficult the harder you tried, because if you're focusing on it,
yes, quite
then,
so.
You know, you're not going to be zoning out, shall we say, into wherever
into
it is
the space to be that you
zoning
need to be.
Into. Yes.
Yes. Yes, quite so.
You know,
yes, because the very fact of you trying to do it
quite.
Brings about another set of circumstances of different energy, which then means that, of course, well, then the thing that becomes on your lips is, well, I'm failing because I'm still here.
Yes, I haven't moved.
I haven't moved an inch. And so then you become, in a sense, really fixated about the fact that you haven't moved.
Mm.
And, of course, it destroys the contact and your ability to change and alter your vibration and so that you interact with the physical world in a different way.
Yes.
That's really what it's about, interacting with the physical world in a different way.
Yes. So are you saying that you can alter your molecular structure?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can alter the effects of your vibration as they become a part of the physical world or not.
Right.
So it's something of a conscious energy that you create about yourself, which then means, don't forget, as an example of this, the situation in the story of the Celestine Prophecy. You actually have the individual, the hero, if you will, who actually becomes invisible at the point of which the troops are encircling him.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is created by the love vibration. This, in a sense, is what it's really talking about. But even though it is set in a form of a fictitious story...
Again, it wouldn't have been as popular as it was if it was supposed to be something that could be fact or...
Yes, or actually attached
possible.
To the spirit world.
Yes,
that's the point.
Exactly.
And so it was actually brought about as a parallel story to do with the possibilities of life and the way that human beings... actually set about to correct their forms of behavior toward each other and themselves and the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, in a sense, I don't want to winter on too much about that, but so in a sense, what you are looking at in all of this experiment is, what is your will? Is it your will to do tricks? Is it your will that you want to surprise people or that you want to surprise yourself? Or rather than that, is it that you really and truly wish to blend with the ulterior forces of your life that are there to help you, to guide you in your life, and that in a sense so that you may raise your vibration to be more respectful of that life and to be more respectful and understanding about the nature of the whole universe? Isn't that, after all, what physical human beings are doing in their physical life? Isn't that really what you're supposed to be doing? Not just going and having a drink or driving fast cars or whatever it is. Yes, it's pleasurable, but it's instantaneous and it's only temporary. Life, physical life, is only a temporary existence. What is complete and will alter your vibration is the extensive searches and the extensive meetings and communication that you have that are not temporary but can be repeated again and again with exactly the same effects upon you, but which actually heighten your vibration into a different set of auric understanding so that you actually have a different mindset, a different horizon opens for you.
Well, yes, I mean, you know, I think once everybody realizes that life doesn't revolve around the Earth in some way,
yes.
You know, we're not going to move forward particularly.
Well, absolutely, that's the point,
and these
really.
People, all of these people with different gifts and situations, that prove that there is something beyond the rationale that they've suddenly enclosed themselves in, that they think is possible, you know, like... the person that can levitate in the street and or whatever, and you know what I mean. Instead of looking at it in a growing sort of capacity,
yes.
You know, wow, yeah. Well, if that's the case, then you know, what else is there possible?
Exactly. It actually helps people then to think outside of the rational state of their own understanding of who they are, the pulsing flesh that they are. Rather, is something quite beyond that. You only have to look at yourself in a different way.
What about, well, I think we'll probably end up doing the crystals next week.
Yes, yes, I believe so.
Thanks for this
yes.
show, Brian.
Yes, thank you, Brian. Yes.
but what I was was going to say, can you remember that, I don't know if anybody else has done this, it's like a party trick.
Yes.
Where you get somebody sitting on a seat and then there's, how many is there?
Four people.
Four people at each corner, and you put your fingers, hands together, your fingers pointed together, and you put your index fingers.
Your index fingers.
Yeah.
So you would put both your hands together and you would you would interlock your fingers except for your index fingers, which would be pointing outward fingertip to fingertip. Yes? And thumbs locked over one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of the four people would... I believe, though, there is a different part to this. There is the part, is there not, where you actually have begin. So what you would do, my dear friends, let's begin again.
Okay.
What you would do is that you would have the person sitting, the subject, and it can be a person of any size. That's the point. The heavier, the better, in many respects,
mm-hmm.
because it will just... prove the power of spirit. What you would do is you would do this in a rotation. So the first person would put one hand above the subject's head, approximately 3 or 4 inches above the subject's head.
Who is sitting on a seat?
Who is sitting on a seat.
Hard chair.
A hard chair that's preferably, it can be a stool or a stroke back chair, something like that, but with no arms upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so the first person would put their hand palm down over the person's head, approximately 4 inches above it, above their crown. And then the next person would do the same, and then the next person, one hand at a time, and then so that it comes back to the first person again, and they put their second hand in the layer of hands with a little gap in between each hand. And what you will find is as this is being built, that the energy will begin to rise. And you will feel this as a very real thing. It doesn't matter whether you're into spirit or not. It doesn't matter whether you have a relationship to do with the spirit world or not. Anyone can do this. So, and you would position yourselves, one at each shoulder of the person, and where the person's knees were, you would have one person at each side of the person's knees, the subject's knees.
This is when you move away from the taking the hands off.
Yes, yes. So after you have done your full layer of eight hands above the head and kept them there for about a minute,
it might have been more than a minute.
Well,
was it a couple of minutes?
Yes, yes. It's really to do with, you will find that the energy within the column of hands will become quite statically charged. And you will actually feel a pulling of both up and down movements with your hands. And it will actually become quite difficult for you to keep the hands in that one fixed position.
Mm-hmm.
That you will do that, and then you will put your hands down to your sides, and then you will clasp them in the way that I first described, which is that your fingers all interlock, and your index finger touching at the tips and perhaps all the way along so that your index fingers are together, you see?
Sticking out like a pencil.
So that they're sticking out like a pencil. And then the two people who are at the shoulders, you will place your index fingers underneath that person's arms. I believe it is from the back.
In the armpit.
From the back of the armpit in underneath the person's arms. And the people... who are at the knees will do the same thing at the back of the knees. And then all at once, you will just rise the person up. And it won't matter what weight it is, you won't feel any weight as the person who is doing that. This is a very giving experience. You will feel that that person will be as light as a feather, and you could almost throw them through the ceiling. Be careful, actually, that you could actually do that. So you have to know where to stop. And then you would actually be able to sustain that for a short amount of time and put them gently down again, and it will be, for them, it will be quite an uplifting experience for the subject, that they will actually have quite a revelatory experience in their consciousness. How is that created?
Mm.
Well, actually what happens is when you as people are placing your hands one above another, over the subject's head, what's actually happening is that the spirit world are actually energizing the situation. They are forming a cloak over the subject. That's all five of you.
Mm-hmm.
And what will then actually happen will be that the spirit world will actually minimize the weight. But what has been happening whilst you were placing your hands above the subject's head was that you were actually engaging with the spirit world and with the earth vibration. And what was happening was that the actual gravitational field of weight that person has normally in physical life, the subject has normally in physical life, has been reduced.
Mm.
And that's why you are able to pick them up like they were a tiny child.
Mm, absolutely.
And you would feel almost no weight at all.
Mm.
And that's a simple experiment that you can bring about yourself. And as I say, you don't have to be a medium to do that.
No, it's we've done it hundreds of times. It's great fun. I haven't done it for a while. But
no, quite so.
Mm. Good party trick. Yes. But can it be dangerous?
No.
No.
No, it never involves negative energies. It's really actually with your own state of mind and understanding.
I didn't know if it would affect the person in the chair in a negative way.
No.
Anything to do with their energy, their crown chakra, or...
No.
You know.
Indeed not.
No. Okay.
No, absolutely not. It's quite harmless.
Hmm. But it is a fascinating... So how come spirit actually... you expect that the spirit with people who are already on a searching pathway to do with
this sort of
the metaphysical world or whatever would be available and ready to do that. So you're saying that anybody that's not...
Absolutely.
...has somebody in the spirit world that would help them do that?
Of course, yes, because the spirit world will take any chance they can get to prove a point to anyone.
Mm.
And they will grasp that opportunity.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. Because we've talked about that for years before. We used to say, oh, gosh... There's people that have said, well, actually, it's probably because the blood in your arms go down, drain from your arms, so that when you've got your hands over the person's head, then when you put your hands down to pick them up, blood rushes down into your arms and your muscles fill up again and the person is lighter. I think that was one of the
stories. That would mean then that every time that you put your hands in the air, that your blood would run down from your arms and they would be completely useless.
I know, but it was to do with the muscles, really.
Yes, I know, but it's not a fact.
No.
It's a supposition.
Well, absolutely, because the thing is, even tall people that standing could do it to the person sitting. The person sitting is not necessarily going to be up, if you know what I mean.
No.
Higher.
No, quite so.
You know, even when you put your hand...
Yes,
on the top layer of the pyramid.
So. Yes.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay. So so we've only got 5 minutes to go anyway. So,
yes, I understand.
Can I go back to one of the other situations here?
Yes.
With the invisibility.
Yes.
And Bigfoot.
Yes.
Can you just talk to us a little bit about Sasquatch in how, and I know we've talked about it in other programs, but you just briefly touched on the fact that they were able to do that at will.
Yes.
So I'd like to just maybe say a little more about that, because they haven't heard the other programs.
Yes, I understand. Well, actually what can happen in this event is that and not just in that event, but really to do with a great many things to do with Sasquatch, what they're actually able to do is they don't shape-shift. What they do is they alter their vibrational state, which means that they actually become invisible to human beings. It's something which is much more complete, and they also... it's much more complete than many other physical beings, or most other physical beings, are able to comprehend. the point as well to say is that that's not something that they do all the time. That many times what they will actually do is they will use the bending ability that they have where they can actually take their molecular structure slightly at an altered vibration to ordinary human physical seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're able to do by refracting the light from themselves, the ambient light, that they're actually able then to become invisible to that person, to the human being who's trying to see them or something like that.
So if they are, if the Sasquatch is, if I'm right in remembering how you spoke about them before on previous shows, if they are a branch of what we would have been or could have been like if we hadn't gone a certain route. And how come, so does this mean that they are far more spiritual, that they can do these things?
Yes, they're actually a remnant of a different form that at one point was, in a sense, they actually came from the same branch as human beings. It was just that they altered differently, and in isolation, they actually became much more blended with the physical world than human beings.
Mm.
And in a sense, it was that, and I understand that Sasquatch have been present on the Earth for a very, very long time. The situation becomes that with their ability to change and alter their vibration,
mm.
and their ability to communicate over very long distances, they don't actually have to call because they're telepathic. It means to say that their communication skills are much more acute than that of human beings. So, in a sense, when part of the reason, I suppose, why it is that many human beings try to look for them and don't find them, they might find their tracks, but that's about as far as it goes. And then their tracks just suddenly disappear, and it appears like the person, like the Sasquatch, has actually dematerialized. Well, they have.
And they could be actually there watching them.
Absolutely. That's the funniest part about it.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't you just like to be one of those for a day? Well, not you, necessarily, but I would love to, you know, when you were talking about experiencing being another being.
I have talked with them.
Have you?
Yes.
Have you? What the... Oh, tell us. And we've only got 2 minutes left,
but tell us.
Oh, come on.
Well, my dear friend, yes, I have. I understand there aren't that many of them left, although they're still breeding and they are still continuing their race.
Mm.
It is something of a great and healthy respect that they have for other life. It's part of the reason, I suppose, why they have such a mysterious aura about them, because they are a being that in a sense is so complete. I understand that human beings have tried to emulate sometimes their pathway, and sometimes they have tried to search them out in order to destroy them. But I understand that the native ways of looking at Sasquatch and their lives is because they treated them as the, I suppose, as nature spirits.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
And that is more readily a good description of who they are.
And they would have seen them far more often than we would ever do.
Oh, yes,
because they could
sense
and they knew the respect that they were getting from the native people.
Yes, of course, indigenous peoples who actually respected all life. I know that they hunted life, but that at the same time, it meant that they had a great and healthy respect for it because they didn't overhunt. They only took what they needed. And in a sense, that's the thing with Sasquatch, being especially is that they're vegetarian anyway.
Wow. Well, that's the whole new show on its own.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you very much, Gregory. It's been wonderful as usual.
Our vibration continues, my dear friend, with the best of love. To all of you. God bless.
Well, thank you for our calls and and our show topic. You've been listening to Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this is Spirit's Work Radio. Our website is spirit-teaching.com, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to drop us a line and book an Akashic reading or something, that would be wonderful. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.